So let's have a couple of people come help me with the communion. We'll celebrate Jesus instituted the Last Supper. You know, for centuries they had this special cup in the center of the table, and nobody ever touched that cup. And then Jesus at the Last Supper, he grabbed the cup. He was the only one authorized to grab this special cup. And he gave this to us for our well-being. He actually told his disciples, says, you're taking my life into you when you take this. Can you imagine the thoughts that must have been going through their heads when they were trying to get their minds wrapped around this? We're taking the life of Christ, the anointed one. We've seen him raise the dead. We've seen him cleanse lepers. We've seen him cause the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the mute to talk. We've seen the lame walk. We've seen him walk on water. He stilled storms. He commands the waves. And we're taking that into us. Well, that's what we're doing. When we discern the body of Christ, it's for our healing. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. I had a young man try to explain to me the other day. Said, you don't get healed until you get resurrected. I said, do you not understand by his stripes? He said, yeah, I understand that, it was, that healing was paid for in the atonement, but you don't get healed until you... Look, all the healing that you're going to need, you're going to need it on this earth. You're not going to need it in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. It's right here and right now. His body was broken for us. So Jesus, we're taking this, your body, for our healing and our well-being. We thank you for it. His blood was shed all over the place. And everywhere he shed his blood, it paid for some redemption for us. Some freedom for us. We make that a reality in our lives when we claim it, when we call on it. Not only did his blood wash away our sins, it made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And his blood protects us. We should plead the blood often. We thank you for this. Did you ever wonder why all of the disciples at the Last Supper were sitting on the same side of the table? That's where the photographer told them to go. Open up your Bible. Well, we can go to children's church now. And you're going to have a fun and exciting time. I know you are. Receive that. Father, we thank you for your rain coming. We pull on that scripture and your promise that says you would send rain in due season. We receive that. We need some rain, Father. We ask you for your rain in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it and thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to continue on with our adventure in faith. Has it been fun so far? I only got one yes. The rest of you sleeping? Matthew chapter 21, verse 17. Matthew chapter 21, verse 17 says, "And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. When he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, 'Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forward forever.' And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How soon is the fig tree withered away?' Jesus answered and said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done unto the fig tree, but if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive.'" So literally, if you have faith, and you do, every single one of you has faith, and if you doubt not, this is where the problem arises. If you doubt not, then this is an example of what faith can do naturally. We don't need to remove mountains. You know, we don't have to go, sleeping lion is just fine where it is. It doesn't need to go anywhere. And you can curse trees. You know, weeds, local weed, curse that stuff. We don't need any more local weed. We don't need any garden seed. But this is what faith can do naturally. It's literally possible if you have faith and doubt not. Christ had power to do whatever he said. And he promised the same power to all believers. I want you to go over here to this verse 21 and read this last part where it says, "Be thou removed. Be thou removed." When one has power with God, a word of command is all that is necessary. You know, we copy that in here all the time. When we pray for somebody with cancer, we curse that cancer and we command it to be thou removed in the name of Jesus. We've seen a lot of cancer recoveries. Amen? What happened? We just copycat Jesus. That's all we do. We copycat Jesus. Well, why would we do that? Jesus did the same thing. He said, "I only do what I see my Father do." You know, it was kind of funny. You know, we had a little Anastasia a lot. And I didn't spend a lot of time telling her what to do or how to do. But she was always hanging around, and she'd see us pray for people. She was just with us all the time, and we'd pray for various people around the community and wherever in church. And one day, her grandma called and said, "She's just three." So little Anastasia walked up to me and just started praying for me. And she'd just do that. And then she'd do that on the playground. Her friends would crash and burn. She'd go there and start praying for them. She was doing what she saw us do. I guess I never raised any kids ever. I avoided them like ticks. But then Connie, she collects them. But the thing of it is I had always heard people say, they'll do as you do, not as you say. That's how it is. You want your kids to do right, then you do right. Amen? Let's go back here to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. I had accepted a lot of limitations all my life. And even in my Christian walk, I had accepted a lot of limitations. And listening to different pastors and different theologies, there was always these limitations. You know, it was a real shocker to me when I found out Jesus did more qualifying than he did limiting. Religion does a lot of limiting. Qualifying. My job is to equip. So the best way I can equip people is to show them where they're not limited. Amen. Here's a verse that you need to meditate every once in a while. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Go up here to verse 18. We'll get this whole thing into context now. Wheresoever he takes them, he tears them. See the man? His son was demon possessed. And he'd already tried to get the disciples to help him. They couldn't help him. The religious mafia was there, and they were bickering back and forth about who was right, who was wrong, how to do this, how to do that. Nothing was going right. And the kid's life was in danger and the dad was frustrated. Let's look at verse 17. It said, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he takes him, he tears him. He foams and gnashes with his teeth. Finds a way. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought him unto him. When he saw him straightway, the spirit tore him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I want you to notice in this conversation they just had, the two ifs. In verse 22 and verse 23. One of them was by the father of the child, and one was by Jesus. Now Jesus, deity, he can use if. He can use if he wants to. If thou canst, just as much as man can. In fact, God has the only lawful right to use such a term. God has the only right to say if. For it is a settled fact that all things are possible with him. So if we can quit our eternal questioning and satanic unbelief concerning God's will and power, all things will be possible for the believer. It is not the question so much as to what God can do, but what man can do in believing God and His Word. He puts it over to us. Any questions of God's will concerning anything that He has already promised and provided for all men is an excuse of unbelief and must be repented of. There's so many theologians that waste so much time trying to prove God's word wrong. And Christians trying to prove God's word wrong. People trying to prove God wrong. See, that was the problem this young man had the other day. He said, well, if God heals, then why do we die? See, he thought he had God proven wrong. What good is that going to do you? Why not try to find all these places that God is right? Why not try to see God as a Christian loving God and see how much you can receive from Him? Amen? See how much love you can receive from Him. The biggest challenge people have is actually reading the Bible for themselves. You know how irritating it is when I hear somebody say, well, my pastor says this. The Pope says this. My priest says this. My mama says this. I don't care 2 cents what any of those people have to say. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, you need to flush it down the toilet. Find out what the Bible says. I know in Texas, you say that about mama and you're in trouble. You know, there is actually some people that will follow mama all the way to the pit of hell. This would be a good project for you. Go home and read the New Testament for yourself. Just by yourself. Just read it through like a novel. Just read the New Testament. Just read it through. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to understand it. Just read it. Just word for word. Just read it. And then go back and read it again. And watch how many times the Holy Spirit catches you and says, see, look at that. That's not what you was taught. But this is what the truth is. I don't know why he did this to me, but it's really cool and I'm blessed because of it. But I was walking up, I was born again, but I was crazier than I stomped on him. I was like a caged up coon. I was born again, though. I knew that much. But one day I was walking up the ramp to my house, and this is the first time I actually heard God's voice. He said, you better read the Bible or you're dead. God wasn't going to kill me, and I understood that. I instantly understood that the things around me and the things in my life and the things that I was attached to would kill me if I didn't read that Bible. So I went in, and it's by the grace of God, I didn't open up at Genesis. I opened up at the New Testament. And I just started reading the New Testament. I just read the New Testament. And I'd read the New Testament. I'd read the New Testament. And here's the biggest thing is, one of the biggest challenges people have, well, I start reading the Bible and I fall asleep. How many? Some of us fall asleep in church. I've done that. It's okay. Go ahead and take your 10-minute cat nap. When you wake up, read some more Bible. Did you know that God is not mad at you when you fall asleep? Well, what do you expect to happen when you have the perfect word of peace and the perfect word of love flowing into your soul? It's going to cause you to relax. See, the devil's not winning. You're getting fed from the Prince of Peace. And it's flooding your soul and your heart and your body. Can you imagine anything more relaxing than Jesus? I can't. And then see how wonderful you feel when you wake up. And then read some more. It's okay. God's not sitting there with the lightning bolt with a target on your butt getting ready to nail you. He's not that way. Amen? He's happy that you came to Him and found rest. Rest. That's what we need. Rest in Him. Amen? Here's a thing. In verse 22, oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Every single one of us is going to be faced with this. Every single one of us has been faced with this. We'll see somebody in trouble. And they'll need prayer. Are you going to have judgment or compassion? Are you going to say, well, you rat fink? If you weren't down at the bar chain smoking cigarettes till 2 o'clock in the morning, but instead home taking care of your wife and kids, this wouldn't happen. Or are you going to have compassion? You know, Jesus operated in compassion. Man operates in judgment. Jesus operated in compassion. There's a woman, the Pharisees, you know, the religious mafia. You know, the religious mafia is still around. I get attacked by them all the time. I make them foam at the mouth, and then they go on about their deal. But the religious mafia caught this woman in the act of adultery and they threw her down at the feet of Jesus and said, this woman, according to the law, should be stoned to death. Yeah, according to the law, that's what the law said. But where was the guy? Ooh, last time I knew, it took two to commit adultery. But Jesus had compassion on her. He knew more about the law than any of them. And he chose compassion on her. When all the dust settled and everybody walked away, he looked at her and said, woman, where are those that accuse you, condemn you? And she said, there's none, Lord. Said, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. I'm going to tell you something, the law will break a man, but grace will give a man a break. Don't ever forget that. We need to have compassion on people. We know, you may know everything they did. You may know all the mistakes they ever made. You may know how they spent all their money drinking and gambling. You may know how they cheated on their wife. How they cheated on their husband. You may know everything wrong they did. When they ask you for help, are you going to have judgment or are you going to have compassion? What side are you going to be on? Are you going to be under the mercy seat where the law is? Or are you going to be on top of the mercy seat where the blood is? See, we need to think about this stuff once in a while. Don't throw rocks at people. Don't throw rocks at people. Forgive them. Show mercy. Show compassion. Amen? We need to have compassion. Faith in the compassion as well as in the power of God should be the true approach to Him. For when God has compassion, action will be taken to meet human needs. All too often we try to pull on the power of God. So you understand that a manifestation of the power of God will always be a manifestation of the love of God. The manifestation of the love of God will always be a demonstration of the power of God. People would try to pull on the power of God. They'd say, Jesus. They say things like, Lord. They'd try to make them seem like something they weren't. I'm a child of Abraham. They call him Son of David. And Jesus wouldn't talk to them much. But when they said, Lord, have mercy on me, He'd open His heart. Jesus told them, He said, you know, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you're not going to get much done. People still fight with this all the time. They go to the prayer room and they say, God, I go to church every Sunday. I give tithes and offerings every Sunday. I volunteer all the time. I help my neighbors. I do this. I pray. I read my Bible. I do this and I do that. Bless me, Lord. All those are good things. But knock it off. Because you're saying that your works qualify you to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Just stop. Just go in there and say, Father, I blew it. I blew it. But the blood of Jesus has saved me. And I don't know how to fix my problems. And I don't deserve your goodness. But Jesus paid for it on His cross. And He gave it to me. And I receive of your goodness. And this is what I need. And this is what I want. And describe it. So I'm here because of Him. And He already paid for me to have it. I don't deserve it, I know that. But it's mine because of Him. See, that takes pride out of the way. And it puts you in right context with God. He's your creator. He's your father. He's your provider. You're not going to earn it. Stop trying. You're not going to deserve it. Knock it off. See, that qualifies everybody right there. Everybody in here is qualified now because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? I promise you, if it was about good works in the law, if we really had to do that, if we had to live by the standard set down by the law, I'd pack my bags and go back to Wyoming. I am saved by grace. I told God a long time ago. I was reading the Bible and I said, I'm toast. I said, there's no way I can do this. I told him, there is absolutely no way that I can make it a day without making a mistake. What was I doing? I was being honest with him. I said, I can't live like this. And he kept showing me more and more and more about the grace of God. Said, Jesus already did everything I was trying to do. And what I had to do is believe on him and what he did for me on that cross. That was my job. That's my job. Believe on him. Well, that makes it a lot simpler, doesn't it? Now, does that give me a license to be a rat fink? No. When a man receives the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, he'll rule and reign over sin. What happens? It'll give him the power and the anointing to not fall into that no more. Amen? I read an account, and I read it again this morning. This guy, he was a chain smoker, and he couldn't stop smoking. He just couldn't. And he got born again. And he just kept puffing away. And he told God, he said, I can't. So he was honest. He tried hundreds of times. He tried. I know he did. But he just kept chain smoking. And he said, God, I can't quit. But I'm the righteousness of God, and I know that you can do this. And then 9 months later, he woke up one day and he didn't have the craving for cigarettes no more. And he went smoke-free from then on. Well, he didn't do his willpower thing. Did you know willpower does little to no good? But God's power does it all. Amen? Have compassion to meet human needs around you. That's important to remember. Verse 23, it talks about, if thou canst believe, say once and for all, regardless of what it is or who it is, that prayer will be answered, providing there is unwavering faith. It is all things. Circle that word all. All of it. All things will be given that are promised and provided by God in the gospel. All things are promised in the gospel that pertain unto life and godliness. You want to find that verse? Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now I'm going to spend a lot of time qualifying you to receive all things. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath. Doesn't say will. Has. That's past tense. According as his divine power had already given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Did you catch that? Already has given it through the knowledge of Him, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's already given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How are we going to receive those? Through the knowledge of Him. The more you learn of Jesus and who He is and what He's done for you, the more these things you're going to receive of Him. Amen? So just keep learning of Him. Jesus said that. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He was telling this to religiously whipped people. These people have been under the law for a long time. They had that yoke on them. And He was telling them to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's an easy yoke. It's a light burden. In the church, for some reason, wants to keep taking this old yoke of the law and putting it on people and saying, now here's these five things that you got to do in order to be right with God. You know what? The one thing that you got to do in order to be right with God? Be born again. Amen? Now those five things may be good things. I'm not begrudging the things in the Bible. It's not going to get you to heaven. A girl called me one day. She was crying and upset. And I said, what is wrong with you? She said, this pastor told me since I didn't speak in tongues, I'm going to hell. I said, what? She said, yeah. And I said, do you remember when you were in jail that day? She said, yes. I said, do you remember when I went and talked to you? She said, yeah. Do you remember when you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? She said, yeah. And you got born again. She said, yeah. That means you're going to heaven. Yeah. Do you remember how you were supposed to be in jail for several years, but you were in there for several days? Yeah, so that's the grace of God. He put His favor on you the minute you got born again, and you didn't earn none of it. None of it. I'm telling you, folks, pull on the grace of God. Pull on His compassion. Find out how Christian He is to His children. And you are His children. Find out just how much He loves you. Ask Him to show you how much He loves you. He wants you to do that. He wants you to know how much He loves you. Amen? And then all this other stuff that you've been wondering about and needing is going to come upon you. Amen? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says that tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, when you seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is love, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. When you find out how much God has forgiven you, how much God loves you, how much God desires to bless you, that's going to cause love, joy, and peace to happen in your heart. And then these blessings are going to come upon you. Amen? Amen. Seek the blesser. The blessings will be there. Yeah. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for every opportunity we get to be with you. celebrate the life of Christ, the resurrection. Father, we thank you for your word coming into our hearts that produces fruit for you and your kingdom, some 30, some 60, some hundredfold return on your word. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, his burial, and resurrection. Everything that he is doing for us right now as our high priest at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. We thank you for everything that he will do for us when he comes and gets us and our redemption is complete. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and cookies and kids. Come on back and get some.